Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today in our study through the book of James, we come to perhaps one of the most weighty verses in all of this epistle. It is verse 18 of chapter 1, which says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." This text talks about the cause and effect of regeneration. Regeneration being the theological term for the more common phrase, the new birth. The cause and effect of regeneration, or the cause and effect of the new birth. I don't suppose I need to tell you that Martin Luther called the book of James a, quote, "right strawy epistle," end quote. I don't think he was thinking about verse 18 of chapter 1 when he made that very unfortunate comment. The problem was he was looking at chapter 2, verse 14 and following. Verse 14 says, "And what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him?" Martin Luther didn't understand that verse, and the ones that follow, and being the great champion of justification by faith alone, he thought, or at least suspected, that James was teaching a contrary doctrine, that justification is not by faith alone, but it is by faith plus works, which is not what James is saying. And so Martin Luther, misunderstanding this emphasis, this teaching by James, was not at all convinced that the book of James ought to be included in the Bible at all. And there are a number of institutions, Christian institutions, down through the years, who have misused James chapter 2 to try to refute the doctrine of justification by grace alone. Such attempts ought to be clearly labeled for what they are, namely, they are sub-Christian. They are not really Christian at all. They are sub-Christian when they are trying to undermine the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which the Bible so clearly and emphatically teaches. But Martin Luther was mistaken. Martin Luther was a great man, but Martin Luther was not a perfect man. And the intensity of the battle that he had waged over the doctrine of justification colored his perceptions in regard to the book of James and made it well nigh impossible for him to understand what it is teaching. But if he had looked more carefully at verse 18 of chapter 1, the text we're coming to now, I think Martin Luther would have understood that James agrees with Paul, who agrees with John, who agrees with Peter regarding salvation being by faith alone, and would have understood exactly what James was attempting to teach. So with that rather long introduction, I welcome you to this Monday, January 30, edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we are dependent, in part, upon the gifts of our radio listeners to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on the air. Well, there really is no clearer statement in the Bible concerning salvation by grace than our text in James 1:18. Let me read it again. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures by his own will. Regeneration, we are told in this text, is an act of God whereby he gives the sinner new life. And there are at least four important truths about regeneration that are taught in this verse. They are the nature, the instrument, the purpose, and the cause of regeneration. And let's look at them, at least as many as we are able to, in the time that remains. First of all, the nature of regeneration. Of his own will, he brought us forth. And that's the phrase that I'm emphasizing for the moment. He brought us forth, and that is the language of birth. A mother brings forth a child into the world in the birth process. And this tells us God, of his own will, brought us forth. He birthed us. This is speaking of regeneration, that is, the new birth. There are several similar terms in the Bible and in common Christian vocabulary that refer to regeneration. One is the new birth, which is most prominently found in John chapter 3, in Christ's dialogue with Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Which maybe is more accurately translated, except a man be born from above. Except a man be born again, except a man be born from above. And Jesus talks in that passage about being born of the Spirit and being born of God. These are all terms that describe the act of regeneration. Other places, this is referred to as new life or new creation or even resurrection. Bringing forth something to life that formerly did not have life. Sometimes described as a condition of death formerly. And then God resurrects that dead one. God gives that one life. God regenerates that one. What we need to understand in all of these terms is that salvation is much, much, much more than reformation. Too many people, I think, are mistakenly of the notion that Christianity is basically a matter of reforming oneself. I haven't been acting the way that I know I should. I haven't been behaving properly the way that I know that I ought to behave. I haven't been going to church, and I know I should. I've been taught to do that from my childhood, and I know it's the right thing to do, but I haven't been doing it. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to reform. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to stop getting drunk. I'm going to stop gambling away my money. I'm going to stop cursing. I'm going to reform. I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to become a Christian. It doesn't work that way. I would encourage you to stop cursing and start attending church, but don't have the mistaken notion that doing those things or any other things that we could list is the way that you become a Christian. The way that a person becomes a Christian is only by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Men don't make themselves Christians. God makes people Christians. It is by the act of His will. It is by the act of His Spirit. It is by the act of His power. Becoming a Christian is not a matter of reformation, it is a matter of transformation. We must be transformed by the work of God, by the divine power, which is only available from God. The work of transformation is not something that we are capable of. We might be capable of a certain level of reformation. We are. We can do some of the things that I described. We can stop getting drunk. we can stop gambling our money away. Now, it may not be easy because these things can become very addictive, as you know, but it is possible for the human being, by a force of will and self-determination and self-discipline, to stop doing destructive things and to start doing things which are more helpful. But, dear friends, that will not make you a Christian. That will not get you into heaven. You might make yourself a better person. But, dear friend, it's not becoming a better person that makes you a Christian and that gives you eternal life and that guarantees you a future in heaven. It is being born from above. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that birth, that new birth, being born from above, is the work of the Spirit of God, as Jesus also makes very clear in John chapter 3. He talks about being born of water and of the Spirit, and he goes on to say to Nicodemus, the Spirit blows where he wishes. And you cannot tell the sound, he relates it to the wind. The wind blows where it wishes, and you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So, said Jesus, is everyone that is born of the Spirit. To become a Christian requires a Spirit-empowered birth, a Spirit-effected birth. You've got to be born by the Spirit of God. You've got to be born from above. That is, from God, from heaven. God must invade your life. God must transform your soul. God must give you a new heart. God must effect a new birth within you. God must give you new life. And except God does that, you will not see the kingdom of heaven, no matter how many new leaves you turn over, no matter how many good deeds you perform, no matter how many bad habits you drop, no matter how many new habits you acquire. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that is exactly what James is teaching. He's teaching what Jesus taught, as recorded by John. He taught what Paul teaches. He taught what Peter teaches. The Bible is consistent through and through. And that's exactly what our text tells us in James 1:18, when it says, of God, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, of his own will. It's interesting, since the nature of regeneration is described here in terms of a birth, and God is described as the one who births us, the one who brings us forth, that means that, in a sense, God is our spiritual mother. We think about God being our father, which is true. For begetting is the father's role, but giving birth is the mother's role. And both are necessary to bring a human life into the world. And in a sense, both are necessary to bring spiritual life into eternity. And God is responsible for both. God is responsible for the creation of life from beginning to end. God gave birth to our new spiritual man if we are a child of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.